it further. A large part of the process was consulting you, many of the leaders of the various groups that have been referred to, children's group, life group, prayer ministry, etc., the staff and the PCC. All the 14 life groups contributed, and we're sorry if you didn't get a chance to. We're always willing to have feedback, so drop us an email if you still want to. But we did this survey last autumn, and we simply asked, what does St. Francis do well? What could we do better? And what new things might we consider doing? Now, some of you will be thinking that's opening the brief a little wider, maybe, than just mission, and you'd be right. We thought by broadening out the questions to anything that people would like to raise would help us focus on the various different parts of the life of St. Francis. So your responses did just that. We covered many different topics. So thank you to all of you who responded and took the time to think about this in your groups and the members of your groups. As a result, the working group, the three of us got together with an awful lot of paper to work through. And it was very clear that four priorities were rising to the top. Four were emerging as overall headings that we might like to focus on as we develop the mission action plan. These were presented to the PCC and the staff team, and fortunately they backed our findings and said, yes, that seems absolutely right. Continue with that direction of travel. So they were, number one, outreach and evangelism, in other words, mission, which is no surprise. And three others were our church community, so all that we do, our worship, not just on the Sunday, but what we might do during the week, and training and development. So for each of those, an overall objective was written and some areas of what success could look like. And so that brings us now up to date with where we're at. The next step is to appoint some working groups, and there'll be small groups which have members from the PCC, some invited members, and they'll be working on the detail. What do we need to do to make it successful? What actions should be put in place? And so we've appointed a key person on each of the four. Again, you won't be surprised that Jean, together with Sophie, our youth worker, is going to be leading the outreach and evangelism. Mary Terry and Emily Stone are going to be overseeing our church community. With Kat's arrival, since we started the process, it's fantastic and pretty obvious that Kat's going to be leading the one on worship. And training and development is going to be overseen by the staff team. Jane, Frankie and their staff will coordinate that across all areas. So this is an exciting next step, and it's going to produce a plan for the next 3 years. And a big thank you to everybody who has contributed. Watch out for further news on this. We haven't landed it yet, but we are hoping to land it in the next couple of months. We had aimed to do it for this, but certain things delayed us. So we're working hard to finish it over the next couple of months or so. And I'm sure we'll communicate it or find some way to communicate it to all of you. So keep your eyes open for the mission action plan. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks, John. You've nicked my paper. Did I? Look at that. Sorry. People nick things, don't they?
It's very valuable.
Can we say thank you to Phil and to Jean and to Jane who worked so hard for us? Thank you. Really appreciate it. Something that you will all know, safeguarding has been in the public discourse as being something of crucial importance that the worldwide church, as well as the national church and many other bodies, has got wrong historically and sometimes in the present. And so it's something we really do pay great attention to. We've got a safeguarding team, but we have someone called a PSO, a parish safeguarding officer, and that's Hannah. So Hannah, I've asked to do just a short report on what we've been up to. Thank you.
Hi, yeah. So I'm Hannah. I don't know all of you at all. And I normally go to the 11 o'clock service, and Tom, who's one of the church wardens, he's my husband, and two of my children were here earlier, sort of dancing, and they're off in the kids group at the moment. And I'm also involved with the kids work, so I'm going to be shooting off with me. But it's lovely to meet you all. And so, yeah, I'm the parish safeguarding officer here, and Jean, who's this morning very much for all the work she's been doing, still the parish safeguarding officer at Hope Church. At the moment, we don't have anybody in Stratford Castle, But anything that comes up there is just being directed to me, to the safeguarding email and my telephone number here at the moment, so I'm covering that. So yeah, as Jean said, safeguarding is everybody's responsibility, and this year has been quite a big one, really, hasn't it? In the, as he said, in the Church of England, with you know, with the Macon Review being released and sort of resignation of Archbishop Justin Welby, and just has really brought it to light the importance of really good safeguarding, and how we do need to really get it right. So stuff that we've been doing. So as we have quite regular sort of benefice sort of safeguarding team meetings here. We've had three in the last year. So they're held every few months. And the people that attend those are sort of the clergy here and those at Hope and Stratford Castle. And then all those members of the team here that are very much involved with safeguarding who need to be there. So for instance, people like Emily and Sophie, key people, parish safeguarding officers for all three churches. And in those meetings, we discuss any significant things that might have come up since the last meeting in terms of just making sure that actually that they've been dealt with. And, you know, people don't need to know the ins and outs necessarily, but they just need to know that they've gone through the right routes. We have an incredible safeguarding team that work for the diocese here, the diocese safeguarding team, who are very knowledgeable and very experienced. And so they're fantastic in terms of, as you're referring, any questions or any issues or any queries to them, and they're brilliant. But yeah, other things that come up, things like the clergy teams that are going out, and for, you know, volunteers that go out and do lone working, all those sort of things, all the policies we have policies for, you know, for a lot of things, because there's a lot of things that actually happen in this church, and things, you know, that happen on our, you know, in the building, so that, you know, ladybirds, for instance, and other people that use our facilities here. So there is a lot that goes on. So we discuss all those kind of things. Parish safeguarding, the safeguarding dashboard. So this is something that it is an online thing that basically has a whole list of things that we need to be doing to maintain compliance with safeguarding. And we often go through that. And actually, as a church, we're very, very, I don't know, after this meeting, we might be 100%. I don't know. Jane is very good at keeping an eye on the dashboard. But I think we're doing very well with that. And it just gives us a list of things that we need to be doing and making sure that we can tick off and that we are actually maintaining compliance with safeguarding here. So those are the kind of things, policies. So there's been a lot of work on, I know Jean's just recently, she did the safeguarding policy or re-looked at it and updated it for children and young people here. And that went to the PCC and back in September and was signed off. Emily's been working very, very hard, and so Sophie, on all the risk assessments for all the activities that happen with young people here. So those are the kind of things we discuss and we look at. So moving forward, we'll continue to do those meetings. Another thing we've been working, what Jane's been doing, I think, very much, is making sure that there's lots of information out there in terms of how to get in contact with me, the parish safeguarding officer, if you have any concerns at all. So on all of on the notice boards and on our website, there's my telephone number and the safeguarding email for anybody to send an email with any little niggle or anything, you know, that they're a little bit concerned about, or anything big. And so those are on all the notice boards and things like that. There's been a lot, you know, ongoing things, particularly with the youth, you know, the youth group on Friday nights and things around WhatsApp groups. And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, things that are being looked at the moment and just kind of monitored. We've been planning our, I think it's biannual, the training for all the volunteers, but for anybody else that wants to come along, and that's going to be held on the 20th of September here. So that's Saturday morning for people to attend to make sure that they're actually keeping updated with their, especially for all the volunteers, updated with their safeguarding sort of responsibilities in terms of their volunteering role. I think that's most things I've got to say. But anyway, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Hannah. So just say, if you do ever want to or need to make a disclosure, Hannah is the person to speak to. We have a safeguarding board there, so there's information. And there is a simple flyer bifold leaflet which has the process. We're also doing safer recruitment. Any other business? Item 10. So this is your opportunity to ask any questions. Thank you, Colin. So if anyone didn't hear, thank you, Colin, for passing on a message that actually we probably do need to replace the organ, because even though it looks and sounds like a pipe organ, it's an electronic one that is needing to go to its maker at some point fairly soon. Thank you for, we'll record that and take it to the PCC. Any other business? Fantastic, let's move on. Electoral roll report. Jane, who is our ops manager, she manages Church Suite, which is our online sort of database, and so it makes sense for Jane to have that role, but thank you.
Hi, thank you to everybody. This was a year that we started right back from the beginning. Every 6 years, the electoral roll is renewed. And inevitably, that means that some people forget to sign their names and the numbers go down from the previous year. So that last year, I think we were at 235. This year, we've started well at 211. I have the list here if you want to check it and make sure that you're on, and a form for you to fill in if you're not. But in comparison to 6 years ago, which was when it was renewed the last time, we started at 157 then, so we're already starting at a much higher number, so that's signs of growth, I think. Thank you for everybody that took the time to fill it out.
Thank you. No applause. Oh, no, it's token now. Thank you. Can I just say, we do encourage everyone to be on Church Suite. If you haven't loaded up your photograph onto it, it's incredibly helpful so that when we're connecting with people, we see who they are. But if you don't understand how to do Church Suite, Jane is really the person to go to because she understands it better than most, and certainly better than me. We're moving on to item 12, which is the Treasurer's Report. And so, Mark, thank you.
Well, this has come round a bit quicker than I expected. Having a look at all that, the agenda, I thought, oh, I've got another 10 or 15 minutes yet, but never mind. So, Treasurer's report for last year. Quite an interesting year, really. This is the simplified statement of financial affairs. So you'll see there that our income for the year was just over 356,000. Expenditure 262, which mean we had a net income in the year of £94,045. Seems a lot of money. It's not quite all it seems, but I'll explain that in a minute. Transfers in just between restricted and unrestricted funds, so that's fairly insignificant. But it means that the total funds for the church at the end of the year stood at 187,000, against 93,000 at the end of 2023. So some key numbers. Parish share that we paid was £84,500. Our staffing costs were slightly down on the year before. Again, we didn't have a worship pastor last year, so that's why our staffing costs were lower than we were expecting. But we now do have, thank goodness, now that Kat's here with us. Mission and other giving, just under 24,000. I'll talk a bit more about that in a minute. Really good number here, regular monthly giving. You'll see 185,000, which is a 16.8% increase on the year before. So that's a reflection of the growth of the church, but also, I think, a reflection of just how seriously you all take supporting St. Francis. So thank you very much indeed. Gift aid received again, 48,000, 44,500 the year before. I say this every year, so I'm sorry if I'm boring you, but gift aid is vital. You can see it's a big chunk of money. So if you do gift aid, thank you very much. It really makes a huge difference to get that 25% from the government on top of your giving. If you don't gift aid and you're a taxpayer, please, I do encourage you to consider whether you should gift aid, and please come and see me if you've got any questions about that. So just on the mission giving, at the end of last year, because I saw the way that the numbers were moving, we did discuss at the PCC about making additional gifts to other missions. And so in just before Easter this year, we gave an additional £9,500 to some of our mission partners for some specific requests that we asked them to about. So our giving, so that will be in this year's numbers, but you can see that we've tried to spread some of the bounty that we have here to our other mission partners that we support. So this is just I did wonder about putting this slide in, but by the time I'd thought about taking it out, I'd already sent it to Jane, so it's in. So I was expecting us to break even, basically, in the year. So my budgeting was pretty poor, wasn't it, to be out by about £90,000. We obviously, so at the end of the year, according to my accounts that I did, we were at £4,000, which is sort of break even. So I was pretty pleased with that. But then I had to add in the gift aid, which is received in January, but is relating to the previous year. So that goes on top of that. Because we were quite flush with cash, I decided in the year that we would pay off all outstanding loans. So we've paid off the loan for the roof completely. That was the diocesan loan. So that's at nil. So that's now completely paid for. And we still had a loan, a congregational loan, that was lent for the building of the Beatrice room to the side here. So that was still outstanding from a cash point of view. It had been written back in the accounts. So that was paid back at the end of last year as well. So we actually have no outstanding loans against the church for the first time in many years, I think. But those loans had already been taken accounted for in the accounts in previous year. So they have to be written back. I know it's a bit technically accounting, so to speak, but they have to be written back. Which is £40,000. So that's, again, quite a big chunk of money. We had two legacies last year, one for £5,000 and one for just over £25,000. We didn't receive the £25,000 legacy until January, but the accountants made me put that into last year because we knew we were going to get it. Apparently you have to account for it when you're told about it, not when you actually receive it. So that had to be written back as well. And then we had two sort of fairly major projects. One is the new PA equipment, which we ordered last year, but we had done this year. And the other one is the solar panel project, where we're putting solar panels on the roof and a battery to help mitigate the exorbitant electricity costs. And we'd paid deposits on those last year, and again, the accountants made me write those back so as prepayments, so that's £12,000. So those numbers there is how you get from a break-even to £94,000. So what do we do with £94,000? So I decided to move some money just within the funds of the church. Firstly, Hope Church. So in the start-up of Hope, there was obviously quite a few years where the expenditure was considerably more than the income. At the moment, it last couple of years, it's about broken even. But there was a negative balance on the Hope Church fund of £17,655. So I thought, well, we've got Susie, who started last year. Let's give Susie a clean slate. So I've written that down to zero. So there's the balance on the Hope Fund account at the end of the year was back to zero. Fabric Fund, we had a small amount in the Fabric Fund, but because the legacies, we planned to use the legacies for something specific, and we knew we've got the expenditure this year for the roof and for the PA equipment, so I put money from the general fund into the Fabric Fund, so that we've got that money to spend specifically on those projects. The extension fund, there was a small balance on the extension fund, but because we've now written that we've repaid the loan, that's written down to zero. And our reserves had stayed the same. It's a reserve fund in case of emergency, in case income drops to zero. So there, charities all have to keep a certain amount of reserves. It's prudent, and our policy is to keep 6 months of general expenditure. The reserves were at 73,000, which is not enough actually for 6 months. Our 6 months should be about 88, but I've decided to put the reserves in at £100,000. It's a nice round number, which I like, and that should see us through for the next few years without any difficulty. And at the end of all of that, the general fund is standing at £44,500, whereas at the end of last year it was at £18,000. So it's still in pretty good health, really. Last slide is just the different fund positions. So this shows you the different funds that we've got: general fund, flower fund, the teddy bears fund, reserves. You'll see they're now at 100,000. Hope Church zero, whereas it was a negative amount before. Fabric fund 32,000. Extension fund zero. Discretionary hardship fund, that's the fund that we have where people have given money specifically to help people in need, specific sort of urgent need. So that's moved slightly, but not a lot. And roof repair fund, again, down to zero, because that's now finished and done with. So that's that's really where we are. Have you got any questions? Yes.
Mark, just going to point on note 2 on the accounts, you've got another income of 30,000. Is it under the legacies you were
Which page is it, please?
You mean the eight? Those are the legacies. Yes, you're right. Sorry, I see where you're referring to now. Yes.
Could you use the mic?
Sorry, I can hear. Hi. Thank you.
Yes, Mark, thank you. You mentioned the extra money that was allocated to various missions.
Yes.
In your talk. I just really wanted to express gratitude from the friends of the school in South Sudan, and indeed from the school as well, because amongst that money was £3,000, which went to furbish the newly being built second girls' boarding house, which will go a long way towards helping girls' education in South Sudan. So, brilliant effort. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? So just before I finish, just like to thank Sally particularly. Where's Sally? Where's she? No, there's Sally. Sally does the salaries and is a huge help and support, along with Colin doing the banking my life would be so much more difficult without you two, honestly. Sharon with all her help on the gift aid as well. Thank you so much. And for everyone who sort of counts money on a Sunday and does other bits and pieces, thank you so much. It really does make a treasurer's job much, much easier. So that's me done for the accounts. So you haven't got rid of me just yet, because I do have to propose that we use that we appoint an independent examiner for our accounts for this year, and I would propose that we use More South again. We've used them for a number of years now. I find them incredibly helpful. Their input is amazing. Their advice, even though I don't like it sometimes, is sound. So I'd like to propose that we use More South to be our independent examiners, if that's your will.
All in favour?
Thank you very much.
Thank you so very much. No, I've
decided not to make that possible
with form. It's a huge amount of work. Just say there's two-person authentication, so any money going out of our account needs both Sally and Mark. So I feel us so confident in the way this is being led, and thank you for putting that so very clearly, Mark. We're really grateful for that clarity, but also for the huge amount of work that goes into it. Tom is going to do a brief church wardens and inventory. There are three things, a terrier, log and inventory, and technically church wardens have responsibility. It's about terrier is the land, the logbook is keeping in and out what is our, what do we have here, and then the inventory, counting the number of hymn books and other stuff. What do we actually own here? And so that's Tom's responsibility.
As Jean said, the inventory has taken place. Mary did it, and I can report back that nothing of importance or value has been stolen, lost, or mislaid. Secondly, I'd like to thank the volunteers that keep us running, and in so many different aspects of the church's life, children, youth, worship, maintenance, gardening, outreach, tea towel washing, welcoming. You know who you are. We know who you are. I was hoping there might be some names up there, but anyway. And also, I know we've thanked Chris Taylor already. Chris is at a service, I think, at St. Thomas's this morning, but whenever Chris spoke in our meetings, he always seemed to me to make a contribution around which we all could unite. And he brought good humour, and it was always a delight to work with Chris. So I want to say thank you to Chris. And then finally, thanks to Jean and the clergy and the staff teams. Jean has led us with grace and good humour, and not just in his clergy capacity, but until Kat was appointed this year, he was also double-hatting as our worship pastor and organising the worship as well. So a large role for Jean was even bigger until Kat came. So thank you, Jean.
Thank you. I think at this point we're also obliged to say those who are sides people. So they represent front of house. If you are a sides person, would you mind standing up? That means when people come in through the door, they see you and think, I will come in after all. Could you just stand up? Those of you who ever stand at any of the services... Come on, Ali, anyone who does this. And can I say, we're so grateful for your smiles. Is it your will that they should continue in this role? Thank you so much. And for those not here. I think we're obliged to
vote them in each year.
I'm going to do a short report shortly, but why don't we all stand up and make a human pyramid? No. Talk to your neighbour about what's caught your attention so far. Okie dokie. If you'd like to take your places again. I do encourage you to read... the report's in full. I've set out where we've been quite fully in the document, in our APCM document, that's been nicked. So thank you. The front few pages I write saying, what have we been up to? So do please read over that, because you'll know some of the things, but not all of the things that happen. But I just wanted to share a few thoughts. And we've got a Bible reading that is going to come up now. Just want to read this with you. So this is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. John the Baptist has just been put in prison, and he's asking questions. Oh, let's go back. John's disciples told him about all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord, to Jesus, to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?'" At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." So John the Baptist in prison is anxiously asking, is this it? Are you the one? He needed to ask others to ask. But John, I think, is articulating a question many people today, right now, in fact, are asking. If you've been following Jesus for years, if you're part of the church already, it may not be a particularly sharp or pertinent question. It may seem redundant to you, because we don't always hear the urgency in many human hearts. But in just the last 2 or 3 weeks, I've been with people in mental health crisis, in aching pain with bereavement, deep pain in relationships, uncertainty about their finances or direction for their lives. And many of them, I think, have been asking sometimes directly, but certainly indirectly, will Jesus help me or not? In other words, like John, are you the one? Or should I look somewhere else? Is having a faith in Jesus actually going to be useful? And then we read, at that very time, dot, dot, dot. There's a list of the things that Jesus has been doing. He cured, he freed, he gave sight, cleansed lepers, restored life, and poor people unexpectedly heard good news. So Jesus tells the messengers, go back and report what you have seen and heard. And then he lists all the activities of his saving life and ministry. And it appears that Jesus is very busy. He's doing lots of different things. But what I want to say is, actually, he's only doing one thing ever. He is bringing the kingdom of God to people. That's it. He makes the Father's rule and reign incarnate here and now. To this person, then this person, then this person. What they need changes. But it's only one thing, the kingdom of God coming into people's lives. And some need healing or deliverance or teaching, raising or forgiveness. But the kingdom of God is just one thing expressed differently, appropriately, for different people in different situations. In Luke chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus sends out his disciples, his first followers, on a mission. And he says, there's just one sermon. The kingdom of God has come near to you. That's it. The kingdom of God coming and being made known. The kingdom, the rule of God in different situations and lives. And when the disciples asked Jesus on one occasion, chapter 11, just one chapter on, he says, pray this, your kingdom come. That's the one thing. It will be expressed in a multitude of ways, but really it's one thing. It's the kingdom of God coming. So I've just said all that because we appear to be a busy church. There's so many different things happening, but I hope we can all hold on to it's actually just one thing that we're trying to do, expressed in varied ways in different contexts. It's one thing, the kingdom of God in Jesus coming near and being revealed to people here and now. I'm so grateful to Phil, Jean and Jane, our PCC, and everyone who engaged with our MAP process, trying to bring clarity over, well, what does the mission look like? What are the top priorities? And in this day and age, it's not enough just to do things because we've always done them, even if we love doing them. We together must ask, is the kingdom of God in Jesus made known whenever we do this? So thank you. There's so many different ministries, so many offerings made by people. But I encourage you to think, how is Jesus, how is the kingdom of God made known when we do this? So if you haven't read all the reports in full, please do so. Because actually we don't want to be just a busy church. We want to be a healthy, a fruitful, and a faithful church. And Jesus said to his messengers, go back and report what you've seen and heard. And my hope and prayer is that people could look at any of the activities, any of the stuff we get up to, and say, oh, that's what the kingdom of God looks like. The one thing, the kingdom of God is expressed in that. Of course, Jesus did finish by saying something a bit odd. Sorry, I don't mean to be rude, Lord. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. Now, I know we think we have a problem with potholes, but even Roman roads, they were nice and straight, but they were a bit lumpy. And you could easily trip up. A trip hazard, the Greek word is skandalon, So if there's a stone that's a bit proud and you catch your foot on it, it's a stumbling block, a scandalon, from which we get the word a scandal, something that makes people fall over. And Jesus says people are blessed if they don't trip over him, if they don't find his life and ministry a scandal, which I think is a bit odd because I think it's wonderful. What's there to trip over there? But it turns out they quite often did. A lot of people were offended by his activity. Kat mentioned earlier, she quoted from Psalm 34, which has a beautiful line, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." We really want people to taste and see, to experience the kingdom of God in word and deed. But there are always trip hazards. We won't please everyone, even when, like Jesus, we get it right. But we are becoming clearer about our priorities, so that when people ask, "Are you the one? Is Jesus really to be trusted?" I hope they'll be able to go back and report what they've seen and heard, what they've experienced from what you're doing, the area of ministry you're connected with, and have the right answer, which is yes. So having a faith in Jesus doesn't inoculate us from life. There's so many challenges. But if we keep faith, if we're faithful to him, and we're clear about our priorities, I believe the kingdom of God can be and is being made known. So can I say a final slide here? Thank you. I want to say thank you first and foremost to God, who's been so faithful throughout my life. I say thank you to all the staff team. It's just a lot of ministry. When you're doing stuff for God, it can be quite lonely. It's often misunderstood. And being in a team is so good. So I thank my clergy colleagues and the wider staff team, the PCC and the church wardens, but all of you who do so very much. If I ask you to stand if you're on a rota, I know that's nearly everyone. So thank you. And that's here, but also at Hope Church. And then next week, we've got our annual meeting for St. Lawrence Church. So a benefit of three churches and two PCCs. And thank you to everyone who serves. Let's just pray. Father, we want to be, in a sense, delivered from being busy. There can be a barrenness of being busy. We do want to be fruitful and faithful. So, Lord, please help us to work together for the one thing, for your kingdom coming here and now, so that people can see and hear what your kingdom is like. Lord, we recognize people in our wider culture so often think you're bad news when you're the best news. So, Lord, we pray that in our own individual lives, our discipleship with you, how we are with neighbors in our schools and workplace and leisure places, Lord, that we are consistently revealing your kingdom. And we pray that when we gather together, when we do different things, that we'll be purposeful and revealing your kingdom. And Lord, we pray not just for ourselves, but for the mission partners who we partner with. Thank you, Lord, that we've been able to give away more money than we expected. And bless people we'll never meet because you love them. Lord, may your kingdom come. And may we not get in the way of that, but really be co-workers with Christ. And I invite you to open your hands as we pray the family prayer that Jesus taught us, as we welcome the kingdom of God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Thank you all for being here. We're going to have a final worship song, which is In Christ Alone. Great words. You might want to, maybe you didn't know that Kat actually used to work as the PA to the guy who wrote that, Stuart Townsend. So if you want to ask more about him, you can have a chat with Kat. Let's all stand as we worship. Pick up your children from the children's groups as well.
Since Christ has come.
do please sit down. Just a few, very few family church notices. First of all, tonight, Joe will be leading Evensong down at St. Lawrence, Stratford Subcastle. That's 6 o'clock. And in case you didn't know, our small choir do help with the singing there. If you'd like to be involved singing in the choir or in the worship band, do be in touch. We'd love to welcome new gifts there. But that's 6 o'clock tonight. Christian Aid, we're just beginning Christian Aid week. We're having a bring and share supper and quiz, and it's next Friday, that's the 16th of May, at 6 o'clock in here. There are sign-up sheets at the back. Do say what you're going to be bringing so that we're not all just eating sausages, and indicate what you can on the list. If you've been given, had one of these drop through your door, obviously feel free to drop it in. We've got a bucket for money, or there's buckets at the back, so do give here if you would like to. Thank you to Sam, who's organising that. Anything else you want me to say about that, Sam? Selling raffle tickets in church? Good gracious. Well, the roof hasn't fallen down, so it must be fine. So do go and grab that and perhaps find out what the prices are. Thank you, Sam. And as you will know, Mary's away on a sabbatical for 2 months. Do please pray for her. Her mum's just had to go into a home and needing 24/7 care. So she's meant to be having a wonderful time away, but she's actually spending most of the time looking after her mum and having to be with her. However, on Tuesday, the 20th of May, at 7 o'clock in here, Mary's curacy formally ends, and she will be licensed with a new license as an associate priest in our benefice, and to our benefit. And there will be food coming, so you know you do want to be there. It'll be quite a short service, and so do come along to that. We'd love to see you. If you'd like to donate a gift to bless her, to say thank you. She's a self-supporting minister. She receives no payment. If you'd like to bless her with a gift, then I was going to say give your money to me, but actually probably better to give it to Mark in a marked envelope so it's clear what it's for. Let's ask for God's blessing. God the Son, who in bursting the grave has won a glorious victory, give you joy as you share your Easter faith, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.